don't just exist. Live live on AWR SID Media.
Pastor Albany, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us again.
Good afternoon, Pudnala. Thank you so much for having me.
I was listening to you saying this the other day and yesterday. The name is Naye.
It's not Naye. Yes. My apologies.
Yeah,
my
Nala, apologies. I think Nala is a character in Mufasa.
Yeah.
My name is Naye. That's all right. That's all right, Infinis. Our question for today, Infinis, is should churches publicly support or oppose political candidates?
The answer to the question is no. And the biblical explanation would be, or rather the explanation based off of my own understanding, is that when we look at the historical events or in the Bible, more especially when it comes to political, and I'm using this word rather loosely, if you look at the political climate in the biblical era, more especially pertaining to leadership, you'd have the king, the monarch, which would be established by God. And number two, you'd have the prophets who would speak on behalf of God to the people, relaying God's will to the people, and you'd have the priests who would be representatives of the people in the presence of God. And the stance that ancient Israel would take, more especially when it comes to putting a person in a position of leadership, is that they would be reliant on God. I think when Israel first made the proclamation that they want a king, God is the one who then assumes the responsibility of putting said king in a position of power. In as much as it is the people who wanted the king, God then takes the position or the place of then choosing the king. And even in the instance of him choosing a king, he uses a prophet who would be a representation of God's will before the people. So whomever the prophet would choose, it would seem as if it would be considered by the people as the hand of God choosing that person. And so then therefore the position of the church, which is the people, would be to accept God's will. And then when move, I think in the New Testament, where the Bible then says we ought to respect those who are in positions of leadership because they are placed by God in those positions. So in essence, what we ought to do is to not take a public stance to say that we support the position of a certain political party, simply because of the fact that, one, it would be rather bold of us to then assume that we are acting in the part of the prophet who would receive messages from God to say that this is the person that I want to put in power. So our position as a church should be that we maintain a position to say that we'll allow whatever happens, and by faith, we would then say that whoever is placed in a position of power, that person has been placed by God. And so the position of the church should not then to act in opposition, but rather to support whoever has ruling power at that particular point in time. And by support, I mean through prayers, because when the Israelites entered the land of Babylon, God then sends a message to say to them, listen, pray for the land, pray for the leader, because when the land prospers, it means that you will then reap the benefits of the prosperity of the land. And so I, with that, say that we should not publicly support or be against political parties, but when a party is in power for whatever term, we should make sure that we pray that they make the decisions that are in alignment with God's will, more especially pertaining to leading people.
Okay, so here's my situation, Mfundis. I'm looking at the dynasties that would be in place after King David. We understand that with Saul, his dynasty never materialized. He was the only one from the house of Benjamin. But with David, who's from the house of Judah, he went on to have four generations after him, four or five generations that became kings. That was not God's decision. God decided on keeping the house of David and the descendants of David on the throne. But as to which of David's sons becomes king, God never decided that. It was David's decision. Quite frankly, it was decided in the bedroom by David and Bathsheba.
True.
So why would we claim that God has anything to do with things that are decided when a husband and wife are convincing each other in the bedroom? Surely that is not God's decision. That's the wife's decision. How she manages to influence and coerce and encourage the husband's decision is not divine. It's not godly. It's hers. Why do we say it has to be God who decides? And yet, scripturally, from David, David is the only one that God decided on. God never decided on Solomon. It was Bathsheba and David. And David would have allowed his other son to take over because he was sickly, and until Bathsheba went and said, wait. The other boy is taking over kingship, but you promised my son, Solomon. And then he remembered, oh, wait, she did encourage me that other night. And then he did what he was supposed to be. And then the sons of Solomon, and they messed things up. But the history tells us in the Bible that God had nothing to do with Solomon becoming king and his children. Again, I ask, why then do we say we should not show allegiance to a candidate, and yet Bathsheba did?
Okay. Firstly, Bathsheba is not necessarily a representation of the church.
Absolutely.
Number one.
Absolutely.
Number two, when we read, there's a book that actually that I like, written by a favorite author of mine, Abraham Heschel, Joshua Abraham Heschel. He says that if you read the Bible, you will discover that there are two voices: one, the voice of God, and secondly, the voice of man, which then would present what would then seem like inconsistencies.
Yeah? Right.
And in the event you would read, and well, take for instance the situation with Solomon. My belief is that, and again, this is my belief, any leader that is placed in a position of power, even if it is man's decision, or in hindsight seems as if it is man's decision to place said leader in that position of power, I still believe that it is God's allowance for, in order for that particular individual to
I understand that part, and I'm not contending with you on that influence. I totally agree with you on that. My issue is on the part. Remember, the question says the public support or opposition. So that's where my question rests, on the issue of public support or public opposition to a candidate, not a party, a candidate. And so when this person is asking this question, what comes into my mind is that Bathsheba and all of those that supported King David's wishes according to Bathsheba's will, they publicly demonstrated their support for Solomon. Remember, there was a group that supported the other son, the wayward son of David, who took kingship by force on the other side. And that's my issue. There was public demonstration of support for one or the other of these candidates. And God at no point intervenes to say this is wrong or right. We only get to see Bathsheba intervening. And that still is another avenue that has no priest or prophet coming to play. And God doesn't speak to David in his sleep. Nothing. It's just the public demonstration of support for the one boy as opposed to the other.
Well, that's true. That's true. Okay, let me put it like this. There's human choice, right? And there's God's decision.
Right.
God puts in place systems that are to assist Israel when it comes to making decisions. Take, for instance, with David, in a lot of his experiences, more especially when it came to either leading or going to war, he would most often the time go to either a prophet or the priest, who would have the effort, which would then assist them to try and discover what God's will would be in said situation, right? But equally, you'd find people who would not take David's approach in trying to figure out what God's will is in the process, right? And when we look at how one party then supports a particular candidate, especially in ancient day, and the other supports the a different party, right, a different candidate, we'd find that there would be a division among God's people. And one thing that is highlighted more specifically in the Bible is that God's people should at all times be united. But in our dealings, we don't always seek after God's face or try to figure out what God wants, more especially when it comes to choosing a particular person for office. We utilize our own systems that we have crafted as humanity.
Right.
And as a result, God does not interfere with our power of choice. Whether or not it is right is not necessarily the question. Rather, what is really a question is the fact that we haven't sought after God's will. That's why more often the time, and I'm not saying that when God chooses a person to be in a position of power, even in the Bible, that they will always act in accordance to God's will. Take, for instance, Saul is the best example. God is the one who chooses him, but ultimately he chooses to try and please the people as opposed to going to walking in accordance to God's will. So again, I'll say that the act of publicly supporting a particular candidate, I would then say I would support us publicly supporting a person that we strongly believe, as a result of us seeking after God's will through fasting and prayer, that this is the person that God wants in the position of power for us to support said candidate. But in the place where we have to, where we are using our own reasoning and our own discernment and judgment, more than half the time it will not necessarily be perfect, and so we find ourselves choosing candidates or people who are not in alignment with God's will. I don't know if that makes sense.
I hear you. Let's talk about John.
Sure, sure.
One of the reasons that John lost his head, quite literally, for him to go into prison and then ultimately have the opportunity of having his plate on a silver platter is because he publicly opposed a political leader, isn't it?
Not for political reasons, but yes.
No, that here, remember the question that we're trying to get answered. It has nothing to do with the reasons, Mfundis. The question is, should churches publicly support or oppose political candidates? And we're seeing John the Baptist opening his mouth a bit too loud at his leader, and his leader had him arrested. He was even meddling in that leader's marital issues. How dare he? And so we expect that it makes sense why
Sure,
he would
sure.
be arrested and later decapitated. So wasn't
Sure.
John right? Was John wrong for publicly opposing a political leader?
He was not wrong.
He was not wrong.
He was not wrong. And
Okay.
can I just say
Yes.
my interpretation of that situation
Right.
means that John's concern was not necessarily public related in a way, like more him caring about what people are going to say and so on and so forth. I believe, and I strongly believe, that it had more to do with the salvation of the person that he was opposing. Because when he goes and says to him that what you are doing is not right, right?
John wanted first and foremost, Herod,
the fact that he had access
baptized
to that person speaks to the fact that there's a pre-existing relationship, because you don't just rock up and then start telling someone, right? And so him being able to approach the king at that particular point in time had more to do with saying, listen, what you're doing will in fact cost you your salvation, because it is not in accordance to God's word. You cannot take your brother's wife, more especially when your brother's still alive.
I'm sorry, Pastor. So you're saying John wanted Herod to be saved?
Yes, definitely.
I say this with a giggle in my tone, because no Jew, not even Jesus, thought, this one is ever going to be saved. Jesus never even preached to the man. There was never a time where Jesus preached to the leaders, political leaders. He never even addressed the political leaders. How do we arrive at the conclusion that John the Baptist wanted Herod Antipas to be saved? I love the idea, but do we have a biblical predicate for it, Mfundisi? Or is that just being pastoral?
No. It's not necessarily being pastoral, because remember, John was also considered to be a prophet. And
absolutely,
usually if you look at the prophets would constantly approach kings,
people
in power, especially the ones who are in who are ruling over God's people.
Right.
Do you understand?
Right.
And so they would constantly come to them with messages to either correct them, to warn them, to tell them what to do, and to also reveal God's word.
Right.
So John was acting in accordance to his office as a prophet.
In spite of the fact that there is no record of God ever giving John that message to deliver to Herod Antipas, right?
Yes, in spite of that.
Are you saying there is?
I strongly believe this is like literally an act of faith on my part.
That's what I was referring to being pastoral. That's what I was saying. It's not there in the text, but I understand you're filled with the Spirit. So I understand. One example, and then I'll let you go from this. We have the famous, or shall I say, the infamous Jezebel, who had a weakling of a husband. Oh, God forbid we should never have husbands like those in this church. But we do. Jezebel's husband was some dum-dum who just didn't know how to be king. And we do have Elijah, who would stand up and speak against the king and his wife. Was Elijah wrong, really? Was he wrong? And we have the very same, what's his name again? Is it Nathan? Who killed King Agag, chopped him up like mince in front of everybody.
These
are people who demonstrate opposition to one and support for the other, political leaders. Again, I'm suggesting, Fundis, these examples are examples of public demonstrations of support or opposition to political leaders, aren't they?
Well, they are. Again, I'll say,
Right.
When you look at these examples, more especially the one that you highlighted of Elijah, right, you have to consider the reason as to why he politically, number one, opposes him, right? Because, one, we know that it is because he received a message from God to go and say that, listen, go tell the people that there shall neither be rain, right, for 3 years, right, except at your say-so. You understand? So he goes and says that. And one, we know that he's motivated by God. And even when he comes through in public, he says, so long as the Lord whom I stand before, is alive, then they shall neither be. Do you understand? So his confidence comes from the fact that he's standing for God's principles.
Right.
You understand?
But that's public demonstration of support or opposition. You know, that's my point, Mfundisi. I understand. I agree with you. But that was publicly done, right?
Yes.
So we too can publicly demonstrate our support or opposition to political leaders in the final analysis. Would that be a fair conclusion?
It would be a fair conclusion if we also add to say that so long as we are standing for God's principle as a result of said public demonstration.
I hear you. As long as you can say, thus saith the Lord. Okay, got it. Vunisa, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time. Don't forget, this afternoon, we are going to be doing our Sinai interview, that two-hour conversation where we're talking. Oh, no, that's not this afternoon.
That's Thursday. It's Thursday.
That's tomorrow morning. Ah, okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Mfundis. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Nkulua. God bless you.
Have a wonderful day, Mfundis. I'm appreciated. That is Pastor Zoilip Albany talking to us about the question for today. Should churches publicly support or oppose political candidates? And the pastor says, you better have God on your side if you're going to do that. And dare I add, even when John had God on his side, he still lost his head. So you must be ready for, as long as you're going to stand up and speak against your leaders, you must be ready to lose your head.
Do you think the world is getting better or worse? Unsurprisingly, a huge majority of people today believe the world is getting worse. Maybe this global pessimism is the result of a culture bathed in bad news, or maybe we inherently know the earth-shaking truth presented at the heart of this book. Something is deeply wrong with our planet, and we are powerless to fix it. The Great Controversy not only unveils the origin of human degradation, but also discloses the titanic struggle raging below the din of pandemics and peril, corruption and carnage, murder and mayhem. In this astonishing work, you will discover that evil has a face, good has a champion, and sin has an end. If you want to prepare for the end of this world and the glorious world to come, you must read this book. Join the campaign to distribute millions of copies of The Great Controversy by Ellen G. White to people in and around your communities. Contact your local church for more information or text us at +27 73 470 3520. Adventist World Radio, SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.